I have looked forward to this opportunity for a number of months, both with joy and, I'm not sure if fear is the right word, maybe holy reverence. Expounding what small pictures we know of the Word of God and of the nature of God is always a task that we need to approach with holy reverence. And brothers and sisters, we need to assume from the very beginning that we know far, far less than we think we do. The early church fathers, continuing to the present day, and the early church mothers, spoke of this little word called prelest. Self-deception. And by that they mean that all of us think we know an awful lot, but in reality, it's smaller than small. With that in mind, I offer to you some insights this morning that I'm delighted to share, and I trust are consistent with the nature of God. As we approach the concept or the subject of oneness, I think we need to recognize that the very reason we need to talk about it, at least in our circles, in the Anabaptist Mennonite circles, is that we have a problem with it, and we have since the 16th century. Not only are we children of the Reformation, which one could argue is the greatest source of disunity in the Church of Jesus Christ in all of 2,000 years of history. There are somewhere between 25,000 and 30,000 denominations worldwide, each one of them believing that they know and understand God and His Word. And then we, as Anabaptist Mennonites, have the legacy of being one of the most divided streams of that Reformation per capita. There is another way. There is another way. We sang about this word before I knew what it was. On the windswept plains of South Dakota, around a campfire at Swan Lake Christian Camp, we sang of the dance. Dance then, whoever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be, I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. Knowing some of Jesus at that time in my teenage years, in those words I sensed a call, a drawing on my heart towards something that was beyond that, and I didn't even have the word for it. While I was in seminary for a year in the early 80s, a group of us from East Goshen Mennonite Church traveled to Chicago to Angel Guardian Catholic Church to attend a worship concert by John Michael Talbot and Terry Talbot and Wendy and Mary. And the concert began this way, my first experience with liturgical dance. And what an experience. Three people, two women and one man, stepped on to the stage, all dressed alike, all carrying lanterns, and began to move in a harmonious circle. to John Michael Talbot's song, In the Beginning. I saw the Word before I knew it, and it pulled at my heart. Let me offer a brief prayer for us together from the ancient church as we enter into these three areas of thought. Let's pray. O Holy Trinity, kingdom undivided, source of all good, be gracious to us. Amen. At the center of all things, God in whom we live and move and have our being, as Paul says in Acts 17 in Athens, he's quoting a Greek poet, Epimenides, is a living and life-giving community. An intimate fellowship, a holy relationship of unmatched beauty, of unrestrained fellowship, of unbridled love. That is the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The dancers and the dance. The Holy Trinity, the loving community of the Holy Trinity, the foundation of all oneness. The ancients of the church described this relationship as the perichoresis, the circle dance. 1st used by Gregory of Nazianzus in the 4th century, he was then the bishop of Constantinople, explored in much greater depth by John of Damascus in the 7th century. That harmonious dynamic of relationship that is always in motion and yet always in harmony. The contemporary theologian Alistair McGrath writes in his 2001 Christian Theology that the relationship of the Holy Trinity allows the individuality of the persons to be maintained while insisting that each shares the life of the other two. An image often used to express this idea is that of community of being, in which each person, while maintaining its distinctive identity, penetrates the others and is penetrated by them. Indeed, if we believe this to be true, then what has been revealed to us about this relationship, the all too fleeting glimpses that we are able to catch of God's relational dance, is the place to start when considering relationships of community and the focus of our meditation today, keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This dance has a center, and that center is love. Love is the center around which this dance of harmony just moves with indescribable beauty. Indeed, that beauty is so indescribable, that love is so central, that the Apostle John writes in his first letter, God is love. Not that God loves, which is true, but love is what God is. So if love is the center, we are also in a great mystery saying that God is the center of the dance, and yet God is the dance. This could not be said, brothers and sisters, if God was not a relational community. If God was alone, God could love if God created. But God could not be love. Love requires
relationship.
So when we speak of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when we speak of God as Trinity, when we speak of God as love, we are speaking of the same thing. I might add, just as a sidelight at this point, if we were practicing love in the same way that love is the center of this holy dance of relationship, we wouldn't even need to be talking about oneness or unity today. Colossians 3:14, and all the way through, I'll be using the New English Translation. And to all these virtues, add love, which binds them together in a perfect bond. Some additional choreography that enhances our meditation today when we think of God in this holy relationship. Word association test, and shout out what you think. When I say God, what is the first thing you think? Love. Father. History. Mystery. All those are true. I suspected, and it is true, that another characteristic of this relationship that is essential to it was not spoken. Humility. We find in Philippians 2, in the kenosis, in the self-emptying of Christ, the Son of God, an extreme humility. We find even in the Old Testament, in the word behind grace, or to be gracious, a word that speaks of humility. The Hebrew root behind it means to stoop. The picture is of a noble king kneeling to offer his hand at eye level to a child. One of the steps in that dance is humility. There is none in the universe, brothers and sisters, that exceeds the community of the Holy Trinity in shared humility of relationship. Others-centeredness is another step in this dance. We see each person in the Holy Trinity constantly pointing to the others and doing so for our sake. The Father says of Jesus on the mountain of Transfiguration, "This is my Son whom I love, listen to Him." Jesus says to Philip, "The words I say to you are not just my own, rather it is the Father living in me who is doing His work." The Holy Spirit is sent by the Father in Jesus' name, and Jesus says the Spirit would take what is His and make it known to us. Everything's pointing out to the others. In fact, in the beauty of the holy dance of the Trinity, we find the Father sends the Spirit who reveals Jesus, and Jesus who reveals the Father. Or you could start here, Jesus reveals the Father who sends the Spirit who reveals Jesus. You catch a picture of this others-centered holy dance. Shared decisions that spring from shared purpose. We find Jesus in Gethsemane reflecting that there is no independence of choice or will or action in God. Yet not my will, but yours be done. The Father acts through Christ in creating the world and in the new creation. The Spirit of God knows the thoughts of God and reveals those thoughts to us, as Paul writes in Corinthians. Typically, Anabaptist Mennonite question arises at this point. How do we do that? How do we make this happen? Is there a symposium or a seminary class or a learning track at Western District Conference? We all want to figure it out and implement it. As Anabaptist Mennonites, we spend a lot of time studying and meditating on the life of Christ as our example in our life with others, especially in the Gospel of Matthew, with the intention of doing, of putting into practice what we see. Well and good. To be commended abundantly. But there's another part that we neglect. To our loss, we have neglected meditation on the relationship of Jesus and the Father, and to some extent the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John. The outcome of this, I believe, is that we try all kinds of ways to make oneness happen, to make unity happen, a task, brothers and sisters, at which we will always fail. Because it is a task that we cannot accomplish. The Scriptures call us to participate, to join in the already existing oneness, the already existing dance. We are invited into this dancing relationship. We are invited to become a part of it. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, by one Spirit we are baptized into one body. We are joined to the existing oneness. And therefore, as we heard in the last couple evenings, this oneness, this unity is something that we are called to cause to continue. And that is very strong. In the original text of the New Testament, that cause to continue. I believe we need to recover something that was part of the Anabaptist tradition in the beginning, but has been neglected, and that is unity, union, better said, with Christ. Being united to Christ as Christ is united to the Father. In Christ as Christ is in the Father. The Father in Christ, Christ in us. Let us recognize three realities that would help us on that journey. One is that it is possible. And that in Jesus Christ the way for that has been opened. The writer of 2 Peter says that we are invited to become partakers of the divine nature or participants in the divine nature. The word there in the Greek is koinonoi. Koinonia. Companions, partners, sharers. The mind-blowing possibility, brothers and sisters, is that we are invited to participate in this holy dance. To join it and learn the steps. We are invited to inclusion in the dancing circle, the very life of God. The very life of God. Some passages that explore this theme further, and I'll just read them quickly. For God was pleased, this is from Colossians 1, to have all His fullness dwell in the Son, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, making peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven. He did this, from Ephesians 1, when He revealed to us the secret of His will according to His good pleasure that He set forth in Christ toward the administration of the fullness of times to head up all things in Christ, all things in heaven, all things on earth. Last I looked at it, we are part of all things, are we not? Romans 8:29, because those whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Need I say more? Wow. It blows the mind. Second recognition, the principle of synergy. God works not in isolation. God works together with us. One of the ways that was illustrated for me visually in Africa was in the Thimbukushu healing dance, where the person who was ill came to find healing in the singing and drumming of the community. And in order to find the healing, not only did the community dance around the person who was ill to the beat of these three drums, but the one ill also needed to dance. And if they were so ill that they could not, they at the very least needed to move their shoulders. Participation. God working in us, we working together with God. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. We often read this verse to mean, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with each other. What it means is, if we walk in the light, we have koinonia with God. As God is in the light, we walk in the light, we have koinonia with God. And then our koinonia together is an outgrowth of that. Paul speaks of working out our salvation with fear and trembling because God is at work in us. The principle of synergy. If we do what we are able to do, God will do what we cannot. And third, and this has been spoken of in the course of this weekend as well, is the recognition that Jesus has prayed for us to this end. That we would be able to join this dance. He's asked for it. I believe He continues to ask for it. And that's a powerful prayer. Jesus said that whatever He asks of the Father will give Him. Some thoughts on practical application. Hans Denk, who we quote often, but often quote in just one part of what he actually said, 1526, but the medium is Christ, whom no one can truly know unless he follow Him in life, and no one may follow Him unless he first has known Him. But the medium is Christ, whom no one can truly know unless he follow Him in life, and no one may follow Him unless he has truly known Him. Brothers and sisters, let us invite the Holy Spirit to do this work in us. Let us incorporate into our shared life all that makes for knowing Christ, for joining to Christ, worship, prayer, scriptural meditation. The list could go on and on. Works of service, care for the poor. And in that, let's also recognize the necessity of presence. The story is told of an Irish man who went to the church, to the cathedral every day for 8 hours to pray. And one of his friends said to him at one point, "You must really have a lot to pray about if you're at the church 8 hours a day." And he said, "Well, sometimes I pray, but mostly I just sit there and gaze at God, and God gazes at me." The value of presence. And then, joining the dance, doing what we can. God will do what we cannot if we do what we can. And there comes those commands to us to love, to act in harmony, to consider the needs of others above those of ourselves. To God, that is taken as our consent to open the door for Him to work. Remember, the door for God's work is always locked on the inside. That's where the handle is. God never busts it down. We open it. But this dance does not go on just for us. Even the dance of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, does not go on just for God. We are, brothers and sisters, dancing for the life of the world. Entering into this holy relationship that is so loving and so unchained and so outward looking, and becoming part of it, that's the way we look to. Outward. It is our hope that as we dance this dance together with God, and God dances it together with us, others will see it and be drawn to join. They will see its beauty, its joy, its harmony. Jesus said that oneness is the way that others will know that we are disciples of His. Our message is one of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 20. We have been committed the message of reconciliation. How in the world are people outside our circles going to believe that to be true if it isn't true among us? We say God is in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, and we take our swords to each other in the church. Massive contradiction. If people who call themselves Christian are living together in reconciled relationships to make visible the beauty of Christ, to participate in the life, love, and communion of the Holy Trinity, then it becomes possible for others to believe that this message is true. Because we're living it, fail though we may, but our intention is to live it. Let me close with these words from Scripture that have been read this weekend, but lay out the pattern for us in joining ourselves to Christ and thereby joining the dance. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort provided by love, any fellowship in the Holy Spirit, any affection or mercy, complete my joy and be of the same mind by having the same love, being united in spirit, having one purpose. Instead of being motivated by selfish ambition or vanity, each of you should, in humility, be moved to treat one another as more important than yourself. Each of you should be concerned not only about your own interests, but about the interests of others as well. You should have the same attitude towards one another that Christ Jesus had, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a slave, looking like other men, and by sharing in human nature. He humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. As a result, God exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Brothers and sisters in Christ, hear God's invitation. Shall we dance?